College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I love where our wideouts are right now. I know we've had some injuries, but I like where we're at. I feel good about 1 through 8 of being able to contribute for us. Like, all different skill sets, we're going to have to figure out how to put them in and figure out those positions, personnel groupings, and we'll get to the regular season for that. But I feel really good with where our wideouts are. Josh has a good comfort level with them, and I know we haven't got some preseason games with them. You know, it was good to get Curtis back yesterday, kind of moving around, and we'll obviously ramp him back up. But I have no questions with our wideouts going into the season.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who's on team upside down hat, by the way. Don't know if you noticed that in Hard Knocks.
I'm not team upside down hat. I just don't have any.
We are we are less than 12 months away. How about less than 13 months? Because I'll go to like the opener next year. From a head coach standing on the sidelines wearing an upside down hat with their team logo on it. I think we are
like a sideline hat. Year.
Yeah. Like Joe, it could be Joe Brady. Next year, week one, he's the head coach of the New York Giants. That might be the wrong team. His owner might fire him over that because they're so old school there. Who's good for this? Joe Brady goes and coaches Ben Johnson maybe next month.
Yeah,
upside down Bears hat.
He don't got that kind of swag. I don't think. No? I don't think he's pulling that off.
I think Bobby Babich also has that. I don't know if he'll get a head coach job, but Brady will wear one. Liam Cohen, that's a possibility.
No.
The GM has more. The GM in Jacksonville has the swag more than the coach.
I've never.
He's a young guy.
O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. Yes.
I would love to see. I've never seen Sean McVay in a hat.
I don't think I have.
Never
either.
Seen him in a hat.
How many of the coaches wear hats? Half of them?
80%.
80%?
Mm-hmm. None of the ball coaches.
Who are the non-hat
McVay,
wears? McVay.
Pete Carroll.
Yep. Vrabel doesn't wear a hat.
Vrabel. McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel. No, you're right. Yep, he doesn't. He vapes on the sidelines.
He doesn't. He vapes. He doesn't wear a hat, though. Draws a line at hat.
Dable.
Dable wears one now. Yes.
He does?
Yep.
A baseball cap?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I can't even picture him with a baseball cap.
I think he's one of those coaches that's like 50-50. Like
yeah,
D'Amico Ryans is the same thing.
D'Amico Ryans.
Like there's sometimes he's wearing a hat, sometimes he's not.
Kyle Shanahan's always got the flat brim. Does Todd Bowles wear a hat?
No. Oh, yes. Yes, he does.
Okay. Dan Quinn?
Backwards.
Backwards hat. Yeah. Yes, we have a backwards hat, not an upside down hat, but we do have a backwards hat.
That's
right.
I do like the backward forward hat thing, like the whole Colin Cowherd thing. He looks ridiculous with a backwards hat.
Dan Quinn?
He looks ridiculous.
He looks fine.
He looks stupid.
Why? Because of his age or?
Yes. I just like think of your grandfather. Think of your grandfather right now.
Yeah,
wearing a backwards hat.
I've seen my grandfather wearing a backwards hat.
Unironically,
he's got. He pulls that off.
Grandfather has done it ironically. He's like, he's probably like, oh, look at me, I'm one of you young kids. And
yeah.
Dan Quinn's literally just like, hell yeah, brother.
That's what Dan Quinn's doing, isn't he?
No,
he's trying to relate to the younger players, and he wants to look like the cool dad in the room.
What's it? Steve Buscemi. What's he say? It's hello, my
fellow kids.
How do you do, fellow kids? Yeah. How do you do, fellow kids?
Does John Harbaugh wear a hat? Yes, right?
Yes. Jim and John both.
Is everybody always the same? Is there anybody that like you don't know what they're going to be wearing on the sidelines that day? Mike LaFleur. That might be the guy.
Vrabel?
I feel like I've seen both. No, Vrabel's not wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah.
I don't think so. All right, let's get Steve in Texas on. He's been waiting through this nonsense. What's up, Steve?
Hey guys, sorry to steal the swag thunder there. But,
no,
swag
go for
thunder.
It.
So I called before just because I was listening to you guys talk about the roster, and you know it was Sal talking about projecting the 53-man And I'm already to the point where I'm thinking at the trade deadline of, like, who is going to be this year's Amari Cooper, who's going to be the Rasul Douglas, and I'm, like, scouting through Yahoo Sports looking at the over-unders for the teams that are 5.5, 4.5, 6.5 that are going to be selling at the trade deadline.
Yep.
And I can't think of anybody that's, like, a difference maker on these teams that they can go and add to help get this team over the hump, because I think that's just – I'm waiting for Brandon Bean to, like, tell us, like, hey, we're going to take our shot. And, you know, we always have all these, you know, above average players, and they, you know, the Bills do have a few great players, but it's like, show me that, like, hey, we're going for it this year, and I'm making a move, and I'm throwing away some first and seconds, and we're getting somebody fantastic.
Yeah.
And we are going to make the Super Bowl. So that's what I was thinking about when I was calling before.
The only thing is those guys getting traded mid-year, like, sometimes you'll get veterans, but that would be, like, you're talking, like, what, a Parsons-level player as a mid-season trade?
Well, I mean, that would be fantastic, but somebody that's got some name brand recognition.
Yep.
And, you know, looking at, you know, the teams that have young quarterbacks are not going to sell an offensive piece. You know, the Giants probably, or they're all trying to keep their jobs. They're not going to try to dump any players. You know, it's like, and especially out of conference, you know, it's like, okay, it's the Saints. You know, who do they have that can put Buffalo over the top? Not really anybody. The Panthers, you know, they have a young quarterback, so they're not, you know, they're still building. I don't think they want to get rid of any of their pieces.
Yep. Yeah,
I
like this exercise. The other thing that I would like to and this might make it even harder to find a perfect fit here. The other thing that I think you might want to throw into the equation: who just got there? Who the GM, the coach? Who just got there? Because a lot of those teams are going to be filled with guys that they didn't bring in, guys that they didn't draft, guys that they didn't sign. This is the Bills in 2017. They trade Watkins and Darby and Darius away. Like, they just got there. They're not tied to those players. And like you mentioned, like Dable and Joe Shane, that team might be bad, but they brought in that roster.
That entire roster's theirs.
Versus New Orleans, I they might not have a player good enough for this, but New Orleans, like, Kellen Moore just got there.
Yep.
Although they might have the same GM.
They just traded picks for a receiver. Yeah. How about that?
Thanks, Steve, for
the call. A 28-year-old second-year receiver.
I like this. Like, trying to figure out who's the right team to pinpoint for... Like, who am I calling? Who wants to do the Watkins trade? You know, like, maybe you want a player better than what Watkins was, but when Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott got here, before that season, it was, hey, this guy is a starting caliber receiver. You can have him for a second-round pick. And they pulled that trade off with the Rams. Who, part of that was the Bills just got there and they weren't tied to Watkins. Who's that team? Who's fresh? Who just got there? Jacksonville just got there. But they think they're going to be good?
They're building. They're not breaking down.
Okay.
The problem is...
The Jets just got there.
Two teams...
That's a division.
Yeah. Two teams that should be selling parts that aren't are the Colts and the Browns. They're buying.
Right. And Stefanski's been there. He's going to be trying to save his job. Right?
Cowboys should probably trade somebody, but they
Jerry
won't.
Jones.
They won't.
Can't get Jerry Jones to do that.
Chicago's
new. But they think they're going to be good.
Yep.
Who's going to be the worst team with a first-year coach or GM? I mean, the answer is New Orleans. And
yes.
I'm looking at their depth chart. You can't have Justin Reed. They just paid him. You're not going to be able to – you want to pay him $11 million a year?
Right.
Like, I know we want an upgrade at safety. Maybe you do want that. Can they afford it? It's another middle-level contract. What? Man, New Orleans is going to be bad. You know, the name I really want to mention here.
Chris Olave.
And why are you talking about receiver again?
Yeah.
Chris Olave is the guy.
Chris Olave's 100% the guy.
He's the guy on that roster. He's the best player on that roster that you could afford. He just happens to play wide receiver. I'm not even doing it on purpose. I'm telling you, he's the best player on that roster that you could afford because you can't get Justin Reed. He's $6 million cap hit, but a base salary of 1.4. You could get that on your books. You can get that
Olave?
Player. You can get him, money-wise. But you're going to have to spend a big asset. And I love the player. But what would terrify me is he feels like he's one more bad concussion away from maybe being done in the league.
Yeah.
He's got a long concussion history. It's like Tua level almost.
Yep.
So... That is risky. He'd be awesome. He'd be your best receiver immediately.
Could Tyrann Mathieu come back from retirement and then get traded to Buffalo?
Did he retire from the Saints?
Yes.
Trying to see if there's anybody else. There also isn't many positions where you would feel the need to add a star player. It's pass rusher,
Cam
it's
Jordan,
safety, and it's for me, it's wide receiver.
Cam Jordan.
Okay. Cam Jordan. Is he still good?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So New Orleans is a team to look at here. Don't you expect them to make a deadline move, though? Like every year now? Because they've done it enough?
The Saints or the Bills?
The Bills. The Bills.
Yeah.
Because every year, it's tough to predict, though, right? Because in back-to-back seasons, Cooper, they trade for, maybe that one's a little bit different. Like, why do they trade for Rasul Douglas the year prior? Because Tre'Davious White got injured.
Yep.
They needed a guy to fill in for an injury. And I feel like more often, that's where you end up adding. And how are you supposed to know in August which position is going to get injured between right. now and the deadline, which is the first week of November? You don't. I mean, you knock on wood, this doesn't happen. But if something happened to Terrell Bernard, who has injury history, by the way, like, oh, I guess you traded for a middle linebacker to start for you in the play. You went out and got Bobby Wagner or some veteran like that. How would you know that's going to happen in August? The Cooper trade was a little different. The Cooper trade was, like, no one had been injured yet. Coleman wasn't hurt, right? It was just, our group doesn't look that good.
Yeah.
There was the Houston game they were coming off of. Then there was the Jet game. But our group doesn't look that good. We're just going to add this on top of what we've already got. And for that, safety is number one.
Yeah.
Like, what's the position where it wouldn't take an injury? It would be, we're in the middle of the year, and Bishop is either not healthy or Bishop's just not working out, and it's, guys, we're back to DeMar Hamlin.
You know who?
If DeMar Hamlin is starting at safety for this team, and I think DeMar Hamlin is a little underrated. Like, really. I think he's a great tackler. I think he's a great run-defending safety. I think he's always in the right place at the right time. He just lacks athleticism. No doubt, though, I don't think he should be starting for this team at safety. So if in the middle of the year, whatever the circumstances are, DeMar Hamlin is starting at safety, I think our phone lines are going to be full every day leading up to the deadline, screaming, trade for a safety, trade for a safety, find a safety somewhere. No doubt, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know what other position you would project right now that's going to happen with. I don't think there's another one. It's obvious.
The team that came to mind to me, too, on this, on potential trades, because of situation, new coaching staff, it's the Patriots. They have a ton of pieces in the defensive backfield and at wide receiver.
They're going to be good, though.
Good.
How about this? They're going to have a good. They're going to have a good record.
Okay.
I think maybe they're a better. They're a team that we're going to be arguing about.
But they have.
Hey, they're 7-3.
They have too many people at wide receiver. They have. And they're talking about maybe moving Duggar, but they have literally
at safety.
Yeah. They've got 10 receivers.
Yeah, but who do you want? You want one of them?
I'd take Jerome Baker.
Sure, Javon Baker. Like I would
take.
He would be the Bills' fifth receiver.
What about DeMario Douglas?
Another slot guy. I like him, but he's another slot guy.
What about who's the guy they signed? Who's the guy they signed 2 years ago after he tore his ACL and he came back and he really didn't do anything last year? Kendrick Bourne.
Okay, I thought for half a second you were describing Diggs, and I'm like. We're not doing that. Hollins and Diggs were their two signings this offseason. No, there's nobody there that goes to the top. I mean a guy that's like you're plugging him in to start.
Okay.
Those are the trades they've made at the deadline. Guys that come right in and play. And I think New England's record might be too good. That's also in the division. Maybe the Jets you could poach somebody off of. I do think though New England, like part of that is I look at their schedule. If you don't think New England's going to be good this year, you might be right, but their record's going to be good. They play too many bad teams to not have a decent record. It would be, I think, pathetic from the Patriots if they don't have a winning record through like the first 8 games of the season. I think it would be, like, I would hammer them if they don't have a winning record. by then. They play the Saints in that time. They play Tennessee. They play Cleveland. They play Carolina. They play the Raiders. They play the Dolphins. Just, they should win almost all of those games.
They should. I would agree with that.
803-0550 is the phone number on this. There was a, not to bring attention to it, but there was a fake rumor yesterday that the Bills had made an offer for Micah Parsons. It's tough to ask this question because I don't know. Like, you'd really have to have an intricate knowledge of the cap. But would you believe they've made a call on Micah Parsons?
Yeah. I believe that. I feel like they would have to. They'd have to make the call.
Those are the biggest ideas out there right now. I think such a tough time of year for Parsons because he is the perfect example of what Brandon Bean's been trying to get for years.
Yes.
And I just don't know they have any way to do it. $24 million on the cap. That's one where I wonder if a team can take on salary. Like, can Dallas say, hey, to make, you're giving us what we want, so to make this work, we're going to eat half of it. Like, I guess maybe that's possible. Him not playing week one is also, I think, a real possibility. I think he seems to be pushing against Dallas harder than Prescott and Lamb did. And they did, too.
Like I think he should, too.
Because you think he's worth more than those
he's
two?
He's the best player on the team.
Micah Parsons?
Yes. And Jerry knows it.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know it enough to pay him.
Yeah. That's or he Jerry. Knows it and doesn't want to pay him.
That's Jerry Jones for you.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter is reporting that Chris Godwin has been activated off the PUP list.
Yep.
I can't imagine, though, he... Well, even Schefter is saying this. He's unlikely to play until October. Godwin, who got a big contract this summer, after New England offered him like $20 million more than Tampa did total, and he decided to go with the... stay in Tampa instead of go over to the Patriots. That would have been another receiver they had. Although they wouldn't have paid Diggs.
Also, I've, over the last like 5 minutes, have gone through... like 11 teams depth charts, and I can't, there's one team that has popped up that has a safety.
Okay.
That could even potentially work just from a numbers game and would be worthwhile.
Who's that?
Atlanta. Jordan Fuller. They have Xavier Watts behind him.
Yep.
Jordan Fuller's never really been like a key starter.
Right.
But is in their starting lineup currently. Otherwise, I can't even really find a team that has depth at safety where you're like, okay, that they could move a safety.
They have an extra, they have three starting caliber safeties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuller has started 55 games in 5 years. And he's the games he's missed are due to injury, not because of play, it looks like. 803-0550, the phone number. Anthony in Buffalo is next up. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, good guys. Real quick. You know, Micah Parsons, is the franchise tag a possibility for them to move money around for the cap? You know, that's basically my question, man. I'll hang up and
listen. For Dallas, you're saying, Anthony, or for the Bills?
No, for the Bills. If the Bills go to trade for Micah Parsons, as the would they have to absorb the $4 million right off the bat, or can they move it in a way of using the franchise tag to allow for more money to be given off of the cap? I'm just...
Yeah,
no, because whatever his contract is right now is still his rookie deal. So the contract that they'd be acquiring is fairly palatable.
No, they wouldn't, because it's the fifth-year option.
It's
$24 million.
Oh, yeah, so it's not particularly... And it's guaranteed. That's on the
right.
cap.
Right.
There's nothing you could do to move that number. And you could say, you could tag him, but it wouldn't be till the following season, until 2026. And at that point, it would make no sense.
Right.
If you're trading for him, you already likely have an extension in place.
Yes.
You have to. You have to have the extension in place.
Absolutely.
Is it his fifth year already?
It is his fifth year.
Wow.
Yeah, no. Dallas could tag him. In a year, that'd be something, wouldn't it? It's already this ugly, and then they tag him. They tagged Prescott 2 times. They are a ridiculous franchise.
Yes, they are.
Just a ridiculous franchise.
They truly, truly are.
AJ in Wheatfield's next. What's up, AJ?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Morning.
I love the safety talk. So I always thought, you know, if it's really that bad the safety, if we have enough depth at cornerback, can we move somebody from cornerback over to play safety? And do you think we have the players on the team already to do so?
Thanks for the question. We've gotten it a couple times. I don't personally believe they do. No. I think if they had, like, if Hairston was totally healthy and Douglas was still under contract and they had added Tre'Davious White, then yeah, I think we'd be sitting here talking about, can Rasul Douglas move to safety? Or maybe they've already been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, Hairston is hurt. I've got Trey White performing well at camp. He's starting a corner. And then behind him, yeah, like, I guess, what are you supposed to do? You want to try Dane Jackson at safety?
No, not
like,
really.
Like, I guess that could work.
Yeah, not really.
But how confident are you that that's an upgrade over what you already have? Like, I think if you had a start, Pittsburgh is this right now. Pittsburgh makes that trade for Jonnu Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They trade Minkah Fitzpatrick away, clearing a hole at safety. They take on the Jalen Ramsey contract for Miami. So now they have Jalen Ramsey on the team. The problem is, and it's a good problem to have, I guess, for Pittsburgh, they have three starting caliber corners already. So, or they have two on the outside. So it's, what's going to happen here? Is Ramsey going to play in the nickel? Or there was talk of, well, we just lost Jalen Minkah Fitzpatrick. Maybe he plays Ramsey a little.
Yeah.
He's a big corner. You want to.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Put Jalen Ramsey at safety? Like, in a situation like that, I think it's an idea worth bringing up. I don't think the Bills have
the
that
problem
situation.
Is. The safety position compared to corner, very few people make the transition from corner to safety, largely because what the safeties have to do in the NFL is run defenders in the box.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills don't have a body type that's like a tweener.
Right.
They don't have a
big, long, Cooper big DeJean. Lengthy corner.
They don't have a Cooper DeJean.
No.
Right? They did used to have Ciaran Neal. Like, but that's not a guy that moves the needle for anybody.
I mean, like, Christian Benford was talked about as a safety because he might have a body type a little closer to this, but at this point, he's one of the best corners in football.
Yeah.
So that's a ridiculous idea. So you're not doing that. And yeah, I don't know if you have another guy that's like that. Aaron Williams, when he made the switch to safety, he was 6'1", 210.
That's a bigger body frame.
At least that's what he's listed at. So yeah, I don't think you have that guy. 803-0550 is the phone number. Good question, though. If you got a thought or a question, feel free to throw it our way at 803-0550. I want to dive through the roster a little bit more tomorrow, but do a little of that when we come back on the bubble. And we talked about Ogunjobi a little bit earlier as we try to figure out what the Bills 53 is going to look like. It's Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
Yeah, I think with Jordan, we're seeing the playmaking ability within his game. It's a work in progress. The NFL game is a lot different than the college game as far as that goes, right? I'll just give you one example, situational football. Even onboarding the situational football, not only is he learning a new scheme, but you onboard situational football. There's a lot to learn. There is progress with all these guys. It's a work in progress, right? So that's what I'd say. Jordan's talented, you know, and we're still working on the details with him.
Bobby Babich on Jordan Hancock, fifth-round rookie, Ohio State. Maybe he gets in the lineup at some point during the year, maybe even early, at safety. Good morning. It's a cloudy day.
That's worst-case scenario, right? He has to play.
That Jordan Hancock has to play?
Yeah.
The way you put it, has
I like
to
him,
play.
But if he's playing, I think it means it's gone horribly
See,
wrong.
See, I almost feel like, if it was in that circumstance, then yes, that's bad. If you told me right now, hey, week one of the playoffs, Jordan Hancock is your starting safety, I might guess that could be a good thing in that, oh, that must mean he's impressed them a lot.
Sure.
Because he's overtaken, who's he overtaken? A second round pick.
Yep.
And a veteran that, while we all know is limited, DeMar Hamlin, we also know they trust in a big way. And he's starting as a rookie when they often don't treat the... Like, I might even think that would be a good thing. If it was because he, you know, he kind of earned it. Anyways, 803-0550 is the phone number if you got a thought on safety. Yesterday, Gabe Davis was visiting with the team, reportedly. We don't have anything on how that went or whether it's even still happening or whether it did happen yesterday or if they pushed it off or whatever. We talked a lot about Gabe Davis yesterday. This probably doesn't surprise you, but we're in fantasy football season. Gabe Davis, last 25 years for the Bills. Most fantasy points in a game, playoffs or regular season, most fantasy points in a game, 52 against the Chiefs with four touchdowns and 200 plus yards.
I'm not playing fantasy football in the playoffs, though.
That's right. So. But they do have it listed just from the stat
line.
They
do, but, like, you know, no one actually cashed out on that.
Unless you had him in daily.
Unless you had him in daily.
Can you give me the other seven Bills since 2000, last 25 years, to have 40 or more fantasy points in a game? Seven Bills, 40 or more fantasy points in a single game.
Well, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen has done it three times.
Okay.
The most he's ever had. He's the only other Bill with 50. He had 52 against the Rams in the loss last year. How about that? The most fantasy points in a game, and they lost it, 44 to 42.
Stevie Johnson.
Barely. 40 points against the Bengals. That's the Why So Serious game.
Yep.
He had 40 that day in a 49-31 win over the Bengals in 2000.
This is playoffs and regular season.
Yes, but I will tell you there are no other playoff games on here.
Okay, good to know.
Like, there's no one in Allen in the perfect game.
Shady McCoy.
No LeSean McCoy. Mm. The most LeSean McCoy ever had was 33.
Okay.
Bills beat the Niners in 2016, 45-16. What is that game?
Sammy Watkins.
No Sammy Watkins. I don't remember this win over San Francisco. Oh, yes, I do. Kaepernick. They won one game that year. They were terrible. No on Sammy Watkins. So far, you have Allen and Stevie Johnson. 40 or more fantasy points in a game for the Bills.
Did Diggs ever do it?
Diggs did it. Once. Twice. Great. He did it against the Titans on Monday Night Football. Oh, he had 44.
What's the oldest?
And then he also did it against New England in the game where he shouted at a bunch of Patriots fans to go bleep yourself.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. Yeah.
Bleep you, bleep you, bleep you. Yeah, that was
so
awesome.
Awesome.
And now he's on New England.
Yes. Fred Jackson.
No on Fred Jackson.
I
the
feel
most
like
Fred Jackson.
Knox had a game. Where
I thought Knox,
nuts.
But it was going to be the playoffs to me. That was
oh,
it, though.
Oh, yeah. That's,
Fred
that
Jackson
was
had 33 points against the Lions in 2010.
Okay.
You're guessing Dawson Knox?
Was he in there?
My list goes through 68 names, and he's not listed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Larry Centers is on this list.
Wow.
But not Dawson Knox.
That feels disrespectful.
Larry Centers had 31 points. Lee Evans is correct. Do you know the game? It's not impossible, but it's
three gettable. Touchdowns.
Three touchdowns, maybe all in the first
from
half.
From J.P. Lossman.
Yep, against
the Texans.
Yes.
Woo! I got it. Got it.
49.5 wow. points. It goes Davis 1, Allen 2, Lee Evans 3 with 49.5 points against Houston. 2006.
I would have never in a million years gotten.
He had like 275-yard touchdowns on like the first two drives of the game.
Yeah.
I love Lee Evans.
So we've got three left.
Lee Evans with Josh Allen would catch how many yards?
Oh, man.
3,000.
It'd be good.
Not really.
It'd be good.
Isn't he the perfect type of receiver they need?
Yes.
Or could use?
Yes.
Plays on the outside. He's a burner down the field. All right.
Three left?
One, two, three left.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Nope. No other quarterback.
No other quarterback.
Cook?
Look, Trent Edwards has got a 35-point game.
James
here.
Cook?
Where is Fitz? No on James Cook. Mm. Fitzpatrick never had a 30-point fantasy game for the Bills.
Wow.
Let alone 40.
Let me throw one in here. T.O.
Nope. Ooh. Now, he did have 35 in that, he's so close.
Cincinnati game?
No, Jacksonville, where he caught a 98-yard touchdown.
Okay, yep.
So he had 17 on one play. but he didn't get. Well, he doubled it. He got the 34.
Ooh, Spiller.
Big game. Close. For no, 37.7 against Miami in 2011. You still have receivers and running backs left.
Okay, two receivers and a running back. Is that where we're here?
Other way around.
Okay, two running backs.
Two running backs.
Antoine Smith.
Nope.
Marshawn Lynch.
Nope. It's tough because the Bills.
Wait.
Always drafted running backs in the
Mike
first
Gillisley.
Round.
Mike Gillisley.
It's not Mike Gillisley.
Damn it. I was really proud of that one, that it popped into the brain.
Mike Gillisley not in the top 68.
McGahee in there?
McGahee. 40.2 against the Seahawks in 2004 at Seattle. The only thing I remember about that game is that Jerry Rice was on the Seahawks. And it's the only game I ever remember. Well, maybe two. There's two games I remember watching Jerry Rice play football. This is going to really show my age. Make people feel old here, maybe. It's that game with the Seahawks, and then it's the Super Bowl where they got the Raiders lost to the Bucks.
All right, so we have a receiver and a running back left.
Yes.
I can't. I'm not going to be thick and say that it's Thurman.
No, not in 2000 on.
Is Beasley?
I'm sure
Beasley
Thurman did
receiver.
It.
Beasley?
Beasley's not on the list.
John Brown's not on it, I would guess.
Beasley never had 30.
Caught, you would
John
one game
Brown had 34 against Miami in 2019.
Okay.
But not
the
40.
Running back is really bothering me a little.
Yeah. It's not one of the guys now.
Is it before or after I graduated high school, the running back?
Before.
Huh. Not good news for me, Nate.
What kind of question is that? When did you graduate high school?
2010.
I mean, he did cut 15 years off of your guessing game.
2020, so it was a little different.
Right, if you would ask that question, I'd be like, okay, right. you eliminated Cook. Good job.
Right.
You eliminated a lot.
Singletary.
Singletary's not correct.
No, I.
What's the most Singletary had? Singletary, 12. not on the list.
What good running backs?
You're missing a guy that I think you could argue is on the Mount Rushmore for Bills running backs.
Oh.
Could argue.
Travis Henry.
Oh, okay.
He had 40 points against the Jets. They lost in overtime week one, 2002. And then you're missing one receiver.
That we should get, right?
43.5 points.
We should get this? Peerless Price?
Yes. Oh. I couldn't even answer whether he should have gotten it before he got it. Peerless Price. Remember the game?
Peerless
Long time ago,
Price.
But it's a memorable Bills game.
Bledsoe. Patriots comes to mind, but I don't think it's the Patriots game.
At Minnesota.
Okay, I wouldn't have got that.
45-39 in overtime.
Okay.
Price in overtime caught a 48-yard touchdown pass to win it.
Okay, I actually remember Bledsoe. That game.
He ended the day. Listen to this stat line from Peerless Price. 16 targets, 13 catches, 185 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Deece.
For Peerless Price in that game. That was also in the top 10 here.
Decent day.
If you are interested in like what the record is,
yeah,
all time for the Bills, like doesn't
Number
matter
one.
What you know, if I take off the 2000 to 2025, the most fantasy points in a game by a Buffalo Bill ever was Jerry Butler, who had 60.7 in week 4, 1979. And then you got Cookie Gilchrist in there and then Gabe Davis.
But these are projected stats. No one was playing fantasy football back then.
Well, they are. I mean, they are stats.
Yeah.
You just have to convert touchdowns to 6 and, you know, yards to 0.1. It's a pretty easy conversion. You know, no one was playing fantasy football in 1979. I bet somebody was out there doing it.
I don't know.
Sal talked about doing it in the 80s when he was in college. So,
maybe.
79, someone was out there playing fantasy.
Maybe.
In 79.
Yeah. It definitely. I mean, it's not it's not the industry that it is now, obviously.
When did you start playing fantasy?
High school? Yeah.
Okay.
I still have my league that got together our junior year of high school is still going.
Yep.
We originally made a rule, and the league is called the Legion of Dads. That when you became a father, you immediately got kicked out of the league. But we didn't do it.
What kind of rule is that?
We were 16. We were like, hey, when you have a kid, you get kicked out of fantasy. But then we all became adults, and then everyone started having kids. We're like, all right, that doesn't seem like this league will be able to continue on.
It's a ridiculous rule. Yeah. We talked about in our league, considering it did not pass even close, but the John Hamm rule for your fantasy league. Are you familiar with the John Hamm rule?
I am not familiar with the John Hamm rule.
For those out there that are not familiar with the John Hamm rule for your fantasy league, essentially what it is let's say you have an odd number of teams in your league.
Okay.
You're actually not going to have an odd number. What is going to happen is, and the reason this is John Hamm rule, because John Hamm is in a league like this. He told the story of it.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's say you have 13 people
okay. That
are in the league. You all show up to the draft, okay? You're getting ready to draft. You all show up to the draft,
okay?
Right before the draft begins, the champion from the previous season gets to stand up and make an announcement of who's not participating in the league that year.
He gets to relegate somebody.
Yes, we're all at a table. We're a bunch of I won last year. I stand up and go, Nate,
you're out.
Take a hike. You're not playing this year. So imagine you are at the draft. You're ready to draft your team. You're ready to win it. And you get pointed at. You're not playing this year. That's the John Hamm rule. Could definitely end some friendships.
Yeah.
How does it affect draft order, though? Like, what if you're supposed to...
You randomize it.
Like, if we did that in my high school league, it would be the same person every year. Everyone would just pick the same person.
Well, I think he went on to say there's a rule where you can't... Like, the same person can't get picked 2 years in a row.
Okay.
But maybe you
would have to make that rule in our league.
Because, then you would just have a 12-team league.
Yeah.
Or you would just... you would have just kicked him out permanently.
Yeah, right.
And just gone through the mechanics of it every year. You don't need that in your lives, that rule. Just do a guillotine.
No, I agree. You definitely don't need that in
your lives. Just do a guillotine league. You do it every week. But it's natural and it's earned when you get kicked out. Guillotine leagues. Which, by the way, they have on all the apps now. Thinking Sleeper, they're called Chop Leagues.
Yeah.
They're called Guillotine Leagues on Yahoo. So if you're one out there and like, I don't want to run it, I don't want to do the manual stuff, this season the apps and the sites are starting to do it.
That was my biggest thing with Guillotine was the manual.
Right. But now they're
labor.
Now it's automatic. Extendo Sports, when we come back, and we'll get you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Extendo Sports, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is coming up next. I was just looking through this chart of former Bills getting huge fantasy totals. Jerry Butler in 1979, that 60-point fantasy game I mentioned. He had 10 catches for 255 yards and 4 touchdowns in 1979 when nobody threw the football like that. Wild. What else? I don't know if you saw the story at the arena with the leak. It was a sprinkler head, for those that were wondering. How far were... You know what's funny? Every day I see one of the Saber accounts point out how many days we are until the Saber season, and it's always so much closer. Like, doesn't it feel like it is eons away right now? And like, the preseason is a month from today.
Is it really a month from today?
Month from tomorrow. Yeah, September 22nd is the first preseason.
So that means training camp is in like
2 weeks?
2 weeks or so?
Three weeks? Not to spend much time on the Sabres. This is what the segment's for, I guess. We're like a month away from the preseason, a couple weeks away from training camp. I know we were waiting for a Bo Byram trade, and like nobody's waiting on that anymore. Where's the Alex Tuch extension? It's fine. Not a panic. But if they show up to training camp without an extension done, people are going to be asking why. That was one of those things where I wondered,
you know, oh, could he leave? Could he not want to stay? And then it was, you know, they're probably going to have a deal done at like 12:01 on July 1st when he's eligible. And he's been eligible for a month plus 21 days for an extension and no extension. And I haven't seen any reports about talks.
Maybe
they'll do it once he gets here.
I've seen very little about it. It's just kind of he's open to it and that's it.
And maybe it's like, just not the time of year that they discuss it.
Yeah. Everybody's on vacation or whatever.
I did see he was included on the USA Hockey. So it's big year. Olympic hockey is back for the first time in like a generation. I can't wait.
I know.
USA Hockey sent out their invites to their orientation camp, which basically I see it as these are the players we're considering.
Yeah.
If to make the team, you know, you're probably on this list. Thompson was on the list. No surprise at all. Tuck was on the list. He was the last listed player on it. Maybe that doesn't matter. Bottom six winger for Alex Tuck.
That's a good role for him. Like, he'd be very effective in that kind of a spot.
Led the league in shorthanded goals. He could penalty kill for you. I think he's a top, one of the best four checkers in the NHL. Like, he could make the Olympic team.
He's the kind of guy that Canada took last year that everybody was upset that Canada took last year because they were trying to build a team.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Well, but see, I get mad at that when they take a guy who scores like 18 goals. I'll never forget when the U.S. took Justin Abdelkader to a tournament.
Yeah, I mean,
this isn't that. Alex Tuck scored 36 goals in two of the last 3 years.
And U.S., Brock Nelson, same idea, I think, similarly. Like, they're role guys, except I think Tuck is a more premium
talent above that.
Than most of those other role level players.
Yeah,
would
Brock Nelson went to the Four Nations last year. He had 43 points.
Yeah.
Tuck had almost as many goals as Nelson had points. Right. So, yeah, I think there's a difference.
I think Tuck is better at doing all the stuff that Nelson does anyways.
Yeah, so I might want to fight on his behalf for making the Olympic team once we get a lot closer to it.
I've been thinking about that a lot too.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Extra Point Show on the way next. Stay tuned here on WGR.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.